Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. A very special Thursday appearance from Larry Anderson from our Phillies broadcast. Now, Larry's usually on Wednesdays, but there was a game. And once again, Phil's on one day, you on the next day. Phil's win.
Well, like I said to Jack, I said I would not have answered the phone yesterday.
It's uncanny, undefeated this year, yes. I believe. Yeah.
I would advise you not to answer the phone. Yes, we had to keep the streak going, man. Yes.
Really?
Let me ask you this, L.A., specifically for baseball, the attitude of a team when they don't have their best player for an extended period of time. What is the right way to handle that? It's different than football, and it's different than basketball. Baseball with, only being up once every, nine hitters or whatever. What is the right attitude for a team to take into something like this?
We have to pick it up a little bit. I mean, I nothing really needs to be said, I don't think. But guys talk amongst themselves, just whether one player going around talking to others or a couple guys or whatever. But just it's hey, we got to pick it up. We got to do a little more. And to me, that means just focus a little more. It doesn't mean swing a little harder or run an extra base. Keep running until they throw you out. That's not that kind of doing more that we did on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was gonna say we saw that.
Yeah, that obviously doesn't work. That's not really doing more. It's not helping anybody. It's doing little more things to help the team. Running into outs is not helping the team. I don't know who said it, Casty or maybe I think Schwarber. Maybe it's not for lack of effort. It's guys are trying. It's just it's not happening. But sometimes guys think they have to do more than they're capable of doing, and it doesn't mean that. It means it's lock in on yourself. Do the little things. Focus. Concentrate a little more on what you can do to help the team to be better. I think you have to realize that it doesn't mean swinging harder or trying to run for an extra base when you shouldn't. It's basically staying within yourself, but really locking in on doing that. And I think that's what you have to do. Obviously losing two guys, a key guy in the bullpen, Alvarado, it's a huge loss. And Harper, the thing is you lose one hitter, you should be able, whether you got a big payroll or not. But if you look at our payrolls, there's a lot of guys that should be doing more than they're doing. based on that. And that's maybe it's not fair to correlate it that way, but that's what it is. It's, you know, I think the fourth highest paid team in baseball. One guy coming going down shouldn't affect it tremendously offensively. Is he a big part of it? Absolutely. I mean, it's stupid to even think anything else. But the fact that, the other guys can't hold it together and score more than two runs a game for a length of time, that's nothing to do with losing your best player. That's just guys just not doing what they're capable. Even if Harper was healthy, maybe they'd still be going through this streak because it's just one bat. But, yesterday I think was one of the best games we played this year all around, especially coming out of that streak or that losing streak or slump we were going through. I thought it was a great game we played. We had great pitching. Lizardo was excellent. We hit well, we ran well, we fielded well, and the results, we saw that.
Yeah. Well, listen, we all agree with you on the absence of Harper is no excuse for everybody else to go in the tank and not do their jobs. It's enough good players through that lineup that they should still be able to sort of pick up some of where Harper left off, even though he wasn't necessarily having a great season by Bryce Harper's standards. So, but I will say this, L.A., are you encouraged by what we saw in that three games? I mean, they had double-digit hits in all three games. Not a ton of extra base hits, but they had some. And, he had a few that went over the wall for home runs. Were you at least encouraged by the offense in the lineup through those three games? Because it did seem like they put together a lot of hits in the three games.
Yeah, they did. And it was great to see. I think, coming off of that Toronto series and Pittsburgh and coming home, it was like, oh man, we faced decent pitching and on those trips, on that trip. Colin Ray kind of held us down a little bit. But I think, seeing what they did offensively, just when they had chances, getting some guys in, they got a lot of hits in the first game. Not getting the key hits.
A lot of singles.
But when we had guys in scoring position yesterday, we got a couple big hits. Mm-hmm. That's what we were lacking. And, if everybody just gets a big hit here and there, it makes a huge difference in the whole ball game and the way the way the ball game goes forward. It's just, and I think with the confidence for the team and the morale of the team, when you think about it, you think, hey, we don't have Harper. It's no excuse. It doesn't help. I mean, obviously, you think it would be better if you had him in there. But, again, the other guys pick it up, and I just think that's what they have to do. And not try and do too much. Don't go up there and try to hit a home run if you're not a home run hitter. Don't go up there, with two strikes. Try and protect. Foul balls up and go the other way. Look the other way. Look to go up the middle all the time, I think, mm-hmm. for the most part. And if you just stay focused on the little things that you need to do right, I think good things happen. But when you think, well, I got to do more, I got to do this, it's like you take your own self out of your own game. And that's, I mean, to me, that was something I thought Lizardo did with his pitching yesterday. He took them out of their game a little bit offensively because he moved some guys' feet, some right-handers. He moved them off the plate a little bit, opened up the outside much better for him. And that's doing a little thing, not trying to do too much. That's just doing a little thing that made him better. And things like that, I think, this team has plenty of talent. The bullpen's, without Alvarado, I think is a little bit short, not having that left-handed power arm at the back. But, I think overall, just staying within themselves and not trying to do more than you're capable.
You mentioned Lizardo, who looked great, which was a huge relief yesterday. Mick Abel got knocked around a little bit in his third start. Is there anything you saw different from Abel in that start and something that he can learn from and take to the next one?
I think one of the things for me is that when I see, 96, 97 on a sinker that's letter high, I'm like, where does the sink part come in? What's that? I mean, a sinker up high is not a sinker. It's just it's a fastball that maybe runs in a little bit on a right-hander away from a left-hander, but it stays on an even plane, which makes it very hittable. The one thing he could, and I don't know if it was by design, I think he just was unable to get the ball down at the knees. But there's two ways to move the hitter, I think, to keep him off balance, is using the outside part of the plate and the inside part of the plate, and also using the knees and using the letters. And he's pretty good going in and out, but up and down, everything was like mid-thigh, high, and above. And when hitters, you know, when they see a fastball coming in there, and they don't have to look down. If it's down, they just sit on it. They're going to look for something, you know, mid-thigh to the belt. Those were always nitro zones, and I generally didn't get those pitches back. He didn't get a few of his back either because of where they were. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think I like his aggressiveness, but sometimes you have to think about throwing downhill and throwing ball down at the knees and get the hitter's eyes going up and down, not just back and forth. And that made a difference in his first two starts. And if you know, he's got the power to pitch up there, but I think guys that pitch up in the top of the zone, they can do that if they're 98, 99, 100, obviously, consistently. But you get, you know, 94, 96 in that area, and he was in there a lot, like 95, 96. Those are – hitters have adjusted to that velocity. That's nothing for them. It's not – 99 is a big difference. 98 to 95 to 98 is a big difference, those 3 miles there at that velocity. And so if you can't get their eyes going up and down and make them think about down, like if you think about a ball coming in at the knees, you don't – Well, put it this way. The ball's coming in high. You see the whole ball, right? The ball's coming in low. You see the top of the ball. It's not eye level. So you're hitting a fraction of the ball when it's down low. You're hitting the whole ball when it's up high. And it's just common sense. And again, I harp on this, but I don't know if it's analytics that goes against it. But I'll take my eyes over analytics when I see 9 out of 10 or 8 out of 10 hitters walk away bitching to the umpire about a pitch is low when they get called out on the knees. Castellanos done it twice in the last three games, twice before yesterday. Called out on pitches, borderline strikes at the knees, but they're on the line. Like they split the bottom line, and that's a strike. It's the bottom of the knees. It's part of the strike zone. And they complain about it time and time again. Both teams, hitters, they bitch about that pitch to the umpire, and they walk away, and it's a strike. And it's why can't we get guys to pitch down at the knees more? It just baffles me to no end. And there's some really good pitchers and some young pitchers that are starting to do that. Skeens does it a lot. Now, he can go up top, too, with the best of them. But he also pitches down low, pitches at the knees, and it's just, I think that's one thing that makes him so effective. He's up and down, in and out. He's all four quadrants or all four directions, and that's a huge difference. I think if Mick can figure that part out, I think it would help him tremendously.
LA, it feels like we're having some PTSD here back to when Chris Young was the pitching coach talking about Eflin. Like Eflin had to go to the bullpen or sent down or whatever. Him and Chris Young couldn't get on the same page.
And that's Eflin said. I mean, literally came out and said, "I got to pitch my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a high ball pitcher." But it was, and that was the analytics saying you got to pitch up in the zone. It's like, no, you don't. What a sinker doesn't sink. So why are you throwing a sinker up above the belt or belt high and above? Why? I don't understand that. The sinker you want to throw to get a ground ball. That's generally what you throw a sinker for. You don't get a ground ball belt high and above, generally. Mm-hmm. But it's not sinking. And so if you're throwing at the belt and above, that should be a four-seamer all the time. I don't know why. I mean, Alvarado did it. He threw sinkers up, you know, 97 miles an hour up in the zone. Why are you throwing a sinker up there? It's baffling to me, but I don't know. But that's what Eflin said. Yep. I'm not pitching that way. He's $40 million richer because he did it his way, what he thought was the right way, and it was the right way for him. So I think maybe sometimes guys got to rethink that part a little bit.
So I want to ask you about, because Kirkring feels like he's kind of taking a step forward here, speaking of sinkers. kind of, you know, they're running in on righties. It's good to see. And then Strom, what are you seeing from Strom? Because it kind of looks like the ball's dead a little bit. What are you seeing from Strom?
It's not coming out. I think lately it's been better, but it's not coming out of his hand the same. It just, I don't know if it's, it looks like his velocity's back for the most part. Maybe not, you know, 94. Like, to me, it just seems like he was 94 pretty consistently. 94, and he wasn't, he uses the top part of the zone. I think he hides the ball well. And I think making mistakes over the plate, which he just, even if it's up, but he's usually in and out. He's just making mistakes, I think, more than anything. With him, it's just location, like over the plate more, maybe not elevated as much, and they're just getting a better look at it. I think, to me, if I'm a hitter, I'm looking up high with him all the time. I'm not expecting anything down low because he generally doesn't pitch down there. And I think it's just, I think hitters are, he's another guy I think would benefit from throwing a couple pitches down in the zone and then going up, because he lives up there, and you can't argue with his numbers for the last couple of years, you know, that he's pitched here. He's been very successful, but if you lose a little bit of velocity, I think you have to be a little bit more fine with your command. And that's one thing I think needs to be talked about more, is not just, because you talked, like Abel was talking about, well, I had pretty good velocity, or maybe Topper said it. He, you know, Abel had pretty good velocity and he was spinning the ball good. Like, let's talk about location. Let's put that at the forefront versus velocity and spin. But again, I don't know if that's the way it's being taught today. But I'll take a guy throwing 92 that can taint anywhere in the zone, versus somebody throwing 96, 97 that's not real sure where it's going.
All right, LA. Well, let's go get another series win this weekend. Just keep stacking them. Appreciate you coming on a day late, and yep. we'll talk to you next week. Thank you, LA.
And thanks for the win.
Yeah, thank you for the win. There he is, Larry. You know, LA said something there. He always talks about keeping the ball down. And I get it, by the way, like, you know, because when I'm watching the games. But he said something there that made a lot of sense to me, is that when the ball is lower, you're only seeing the top of the ball. When the ball is higher, you're seeing the whole ball. And it makes it a little bit easier to barrel up when the ball is higher. You know what I mean? Like, it makes a lot of sense. When I'm watching the games, I'm like, just, maybe it's because I've watched too much Castellanos, but I'm like, just throw a low one outside.
I did see you tweet yesterday that if you got a 3-2 against Castellanos, you could strike him out.
I absolutely could. I'll just throw it way outside.
Why are you always monitoring Spike's tweets, man?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, this one was sent to me. This was not
big. Really? Who sent it to you?
Somebody sent
Who sent me
Spike's? Somebody sent you Spike's tweet?
Wow.
Might have been Angelina.
Oh, okay.
Might have been Angelina.
Well, I was front.
If somebody's sending you a tweet, are they second guessing what Spike is saying?
Or it could have just been a funny thing, like maybe to bring up on the show.
Oh, okay.
Well, right. Would it be second guessing if Spike could strike out Castellanos?
Well, I really couldn't strike. Well, all the responses were okay, Elliot, or whatever. But
are an Elliot wannabe. Many have said that.
My point was, it's 3-2, and I'm like, you know, I do truly love Casty, but it's 3-2, and I'm like, well, they're going to throw him a breaking ball low and away, and he's going to swing at it. And that is exact. And you saw him knowing he shouldn't swing,
yeah,
because he tried to check it, but the he needs to swing at that ball. He just, like, he needs to swing at it.
If I can be honest, it's the one thing about being a hitter that I'm always like, how do they not see that ball is way out of strike zone?
Right,
where it's going.
I know.
But obviously, if you're in a batter's box, it's a lot harder to be able to tell that's what's happening.
Yeah.
But just watching it from the game, I'm like, that ball was low from the jump.
Well, and a lot of times, Jack, you could correct me, you sort of have to guess what you think the pitcher's going to throw.
Right.
If I'm Casty, like at this point,
you should expect a low and away.
You know what I mean? Like, unless the bases are loaded and if it's full count and they walk
throw you.
You
a strike.
Yeah, they have to throw you a strike, but, you know, I'm never throwing Casty a strike in that situation.
No.
Yeah.
I think the thing about pitching up and why it's changed so much is really, I think, to combat the launch angle movement. Because
you can launch from lower.
If you can get it above the swing path consistently, it's harder for these guys to square up. I think that's why they are pitching so much more up in the zone now.
But then I think LA's point, and what I would wonder too, is when you, I understand that on a fastball, but on a sinker, you know, that's a mistake.
Huh?
You know what I mean? 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get back into Jalen coming up. What do you think, Jack? You want to talk about Jalen?
Yeah, that sounds fun. Yeah. Well, we also got Broads.
Oh, we got Broads too.
And we have a U.S. Open update.
Oh my God!
Oh, we got a lot going on.
Are we going to get to Jalen?
But you said we're overrating what he did last year.
And again, overrating what he did last year.
Yes.
Which people seem to be missing the question sometimes. Sometimes. Now we got to break the whole resume.
What do you think happened?
Well, you got to say, when you say last year, people, what do you think people are focusing on last year?
I think they're looking at the one game.
Or the postseason for sure.
Yeah.
Well, then it's only two games.
Let me, quick question for both of you. Let's say
they're not focusing on the regular season.
Let's say
yeah.
The dagger doesn't happen.
Yeah.
The dagger doesn't happen. Right. And the Eagles win, you know, they score 3 points there instead of seven.
They have a defensive MVP.
Yeah. I wonder what the convo is. Do you think it's that different than it is right now? He doesn't win MVP, blah, 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 blah. Or do you think it's generally the same conversation, just, you know?
I think it's, you know what?
You think it's the same?
I think it's the same conversation.
What do you think, Jack?
I think it's the same conversation.
Same convo. If the dagger never happens, he doesn't win MVP. So
our points would be a lot more valid, I think, in most people's eyes.
Right, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, even though it's 24-0.
So you think everybody's hanging on the Super Bowl MVP?
Well, no, it's just like, I think people think that that's their ticket to the golden chocolate factory, the Willy Wonka. There's your golden ticket. Yeah, he's elite now. Yeah. No. Like,
well, hold on. That does put him in the elite group.
215.
215-592-9494. Broads joins us next.
Oh, man. Are we going to bring his little Hurts points? Or
Yeah.
Oh,
that's my guy.
Do you think he's watching Hurts highlights, getting ready for this?
Getting all revved up?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, watching the tush push, does that make him want to, you know, push some weight around?
Lighten up a fatty, man. Watching Hurts highlights. Dad of the year over there. Broads, and we'll get a U.S. Open update from Mike. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Rest in peace, Brian Wilson, one of the true goats of the Beach Boys, 82 years old. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Now, we weren't on the air yesterday at 3:30, and we normally do Flyers and 50 with Broads at 3:30 on Wednesdays, but we were ordered by station management that if it gets...
Rod's biggest project.
Yep, is we got to get it on Thursday. So our guy's here. What's up, Broads?
Wow.
Look at him.
Oh, you got the Jalen Hurts jersey on
today. Yeah, you
What's
are
up there, Broads?
Wow, the best quarterback in franchise MVP.
Shut his hole.
Exist. I mean, this is hell of a topic today, fellas. Hell of a topic.
Best quarterback. So you think he's better than Donovan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
This guy just wins.
Yeah.
He just wins. All this
All you guys are doing a stupid bit. That's what everyone
Lamar
is doing.
Yeah.
Nonsense. How about you take the Super Bowl MVP trophy and shove it right up their ass?
I feel like I'm in the Truman Show, and everybody at Michigan, like,
it's an underrated movie.
Yeah, everybody's like, let's see if we can make them crazy by not addressing the topic at hand. Just keep saying the same things over and over again. See if it'll explode.
Oh, well, man. I listened to a caller, and he said, outside of winning, what does he do? Are you dumb?
It's not tennis!
Just all the quarterback!
It's not tennis! There's a whole team! If I was on his team, I would feel so disrespected by you. If I was, if I was Saquon Barkley, if I was the offensive line, if I was Quinion Mitchell, if I was Zach Bond, A.J. Brown, I would be like, wait a minute, he wins? What the hell did I do? If I was Lane Johnson, I'd be like, you know what? I'm looking through history. Actually, I just win. I just win. Like, you guys, you take these team victories and you assign them to the one frigging guy. It's insane.
No, I disagree. I think there's so much credit to go around. I think the Eagles are a tremendous organization where there's winning everywhere. But Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. It's the most important position in the sport. And he plays a role in the winning double-digit games in a row.
And they ask him to do less than any quarterback in football. They ask him to do less.
Nobody can just get plugged in with this team and automatically win a championship. Jalen wins. People say others elevate their teammates. Jalen's walking into the NovaCare complex alone, pushes the bar through the roof.
God, you
the
are.
He carries himself, and they go in there.
Well, hold on. Hold on. He elevates them because of the way he carries himself. So you're telling me, Broads, and this is where we get crazy. This is where we get crazy. So you're telling me the guy who the organization publicly leaked all over the place wasn't a good enough leader. You're telling me the guy who got a visit from the head of security and the defensive end during the bye week talking to him about being a more of a leader. That specific guy is leading the whole team because of how he carries himself.
Yes, there's no doubt about it that way Jalen Hurts carries himself is why the team is elevated. The way he's someone that is just when he speaks, you get drawn to him. And you can see around the
look. He doesn't talk! He doesn't even talk to his teammates, bro.
Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. I talked to Reed Blankenship when I filled in for you. That man said, number one, woo-wee! He talks, we listen. That aura, it's unbelievable. That's what I'm saying, baby.
He's never even met Jalen Hurts. All right, are we going to do Flyers in 50? There we go.
Flyers in 50 with Hunter Brody.
Players do, playing through some injury, got a stiff neck, woke up, didn't feel good, slept on it wrong, but I'm still here, damn it, gotta stand up for my quarterback. Let's appreciate the Stanley Cup Finals though, huh? 2-1 right now, Florida. Talk about a gritty squad, greasy, tough, physical brand of puck. That's the goal, Danny. You better be focusing it on how Sam Bennett plays, just rocking guys at the blue line, giving them a big check, turning it over, now he's on a breakaway and buries. It's unbelievable the way that he mucks and grinds in front of the blue paint. It's crazy. But what pisses me off is that GM in Florida, Bill Zito. We had a chance, and instead they went with Chuck Fletcher. Chuck, I'm gonna burn this franchise down to the ground. Chuck Fletcher. We could have had the guy that's winning championship to go into 3 straight cup finals, but we don't have him because we had Chuck Stupid Fletcher.
You okay, buddy?
Why are you out of breath again?
Yeah, it's again, you and Daryl Morey. Always out of breath.
I mean, these are just, they're great people. I mean, Daryl Morey, myself, according to your standards, Daryl Morey, then I mean, I'm just riding the high then.
So we got some news. The draft party's still happening, right, on the 27th, but we're having it at a different Chickies and Pete's now?
Yes, due to popular demand.
Mm-hmm. We need a bigger space.
Chickies and Pete's in Glassboro, New Jersey, my native land. We are hitting the South Jersey markets. You know that. Listen, I understand that I'm a passionate Philadelphia sportsman, but South Jersey is my heart, and people were calling.
Yeah.
People were banging on the
makes
door.
Sense. It makes sense, bro. It makes sense.
Said, hey, it makes South sense. Jersey, baby.
Yeah.
So in Glassboro, right on Rowan Boulevard there at Chickies and Pete's, we got our Puck It Up draft party.
That's not too far from us, Spike.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, that's natural. You can count on, I have not been given an invitation, by the way. when this was announced, I wasn't given an invitation. I wasn't given an invitation.
Well, initially, this was done, supposedly being done on the day that we were working.
Yeah, the day,
Chickies
yes.
and Pete's, yeah.
So this is June 27th, starts at 7 o'clock, right? Is that when we're starting? Okay.
Yep.
At the Chickies and Pete's in Glassboro. If I get an invite, even though it's not even where I'm going to be working, I will go, but only if I get an invite from the host of the party.
Okay, how about this? Because next week... We'll be 1 week out. Next week, we will determine one Spike Eskin is allowed through the doors.
Unbelievable. All right. Thank you, Broads. When are you on WIP again?
tonight, and I think I might talk about Jalen.
Okay, tonight, right after us, or are you on late night? 11 o'clock.
Yeah, late night. So okay. We'll be. Oh, dude. By the way, I think Herb's on the hold for you.
Yeah.
He's talking to Jack.
Yeah.
First off, those pictures. Holy hell. Holy hell.
Oh, he's sending me shirtless selfies on the beach. Yeah.
On the beach?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's amazing.
All right.
And two, I caught him as he was coming back from the airport in Colombia at 2 a.m. last night. The wildest 15-minute phone call of my life. Good luck. Yeah. I'm just saying.
All right. Thank you, Birds. Wait a minute. Herb is back from Colombia now.
Yes.
So he survived Colombia.
Oh. Yes.
All right.
Oh, Colombia. You think there was any doubt, our guy?
Like, huge doubt, actually.
I'm looking at a threesome.
Jeez. All right. Well, we will get to that. But we are in a golf major happening, yes, which means you have to get the update from the foremost golf expert at WIP.
And now, Ike Reese on the U.S. Open.
Oh, I tell you, such a great, great golf tournament. I gotta tell you, Spike.
Yes.
The U.S. Open might be the hardest one to win.
Is that because of all the high grass?
High grass. You know, it's usually played at a golf course that everybody isn't necessarily familiar with. They get to play there every once in a while.
They move it around? It's not always at the same place?
It's not the same course.
Okay.
Come on, Spike. Please, just lock in.
I don't know.
Although, Oakmont, I believe, I heard this correctly, has hosted it more than any other golf course.
Yeah, they just had it in 2016. Your boy was there.
So you know what? I'm learning that Pennsylvania is becoming a great golfing state.
Mm, yeah. We just had the Truest.
Yeah.
Tough courses.
Yeah, then we got the PGA Championship next year. Huh?
Please lower your voice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. We got the PGA Championship next year.
Wow.
And then we got a U.S. Open at Marion.
Wow.
In 2030.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully we're all still employed by then. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, as I look at the leaderboard, that is a long time.
Yeah, I could be dead.
It's only 5 years.
Well, it could happen to anyone at any time.
It's true. Not a lot has happened on the leaderboard. Although Sam Burns continues to climb, he's one behind J.J. Spahn right now. How about Sungjae Im? He's in there. He's a pretty good golfer. Siwoo Kim. Now, was it Siwoo Kim that won last month, or was it Minwoo Lee?
This is our expert.
This is true.
Yeah, I don't know the names.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka has moved into the top five.
That MF-er.
Yeah, Brooks Koepka, top five. Patrick Reed, who's also a major winner, he's in the top five at 2 under.
He had an albatross, Ike.
You know what an albatross is?
Is that when you go over five?
It's pretty good, Spike.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Right?
That's what a five is.
No, I got a 2 on a par 5.
Oh, I thought that's an eagle.
You got 3 on a par 5.
Oh, an eagle is 3 on a par 5.
No, I got 2.
That's an eagle.
That's 2 on a par 5. Yeah.
He got a 2 on.
Albatross was over.
Yeah, why don't they give a bad, why do they give it a bad name like Albatross?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I think you're wrong, too.
I might be wrong.
That's a double eagle. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, you're a moron.
It's clearly a double eagle.
You're a moron. Wait, it is. It's a double eagle.
Hold on.
I play golf video games. I play the Tiger Woods game.
I want to take a deep breath. Everyone.
Wait, was I right? You wrong?
Might have been right.
Yeah, no, you were right. That's why I said, it's 5 shots. It's a...
Yeah, you're an albatross.
So what is that?
It's a double eagle.
No, I think I'm right.
Look, dude.
It's a double eagle, dude.
2 under par is an eagle. 3 under par is a double eagle.
Double eagle.
Yeah, but it was on a par 5.
It's still a double eagle.
It's still a double eagle.
There's no way you can get a double eagle. You can't get a double eagle on a par 4.
It's called an albatross.
Oh, God. All right.
I'm going to look this up.
And you almost caused me to get excited doing the
read. I'm right. Yes. Yeah, I'm right. Thank you.
Are you right?
Yeah.
All right, tell us in the chat.
He's
right?
An albatross is also known as a double eagle. They're the same thing.
Oh, well, everybody's right.
Yeah, there we go.
Look at that.
We were wrong for questioning you, is what you're saying. Yes, all right.
It's a bad name, albatross.
It really is.
Yeah. Albatross is bad.
Albatross is definitely a negative connotation.
Yes, I'm changing
it. I thought this was turning into our conversation before the show again. Kind of sound like an idiot. I was like, I don't think I'm wrong.
We're not bringing up that conversation.
All right.
Come on, man.
Are we done?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, he's ruined the whole thing. Yeah.
I didn't ruin anything. It's just called hashtag no in the game.
That wasn't one of our best golf updates.
Yeah, I actually think that was kind of a good one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was entertaining.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Wondering why Jack didn't take the actual question of the show and put it on Twitter.
You know how that would have gone.
I know.
Hold on, what am I missing?
Well, no. The question on Twitter is, who was the face of the 24-25 Eagles? Saquon Barkley at 76.3%.
Yeah.
I was joking with Jack that he didn't put, do we overrate what Jalen Hurts did in 2024 on Twitter?
The blogs that'd be written. Can you believe that WIP did it again?
Oh, slow news day.
Slow news day. Is it? He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, imagine thinking this. 215-592-949. Rios in North Philly.
Oh, my God.
You're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What's up, buddy?
That's what keeps me from joining that side completely.
Oh, really?
It's
yes.
The mocking of it. Yes.
Yep. What's up, Rios?
What up, Rios?
What's going on, gentlemen? You know what I mean? Like, what y'all just said, of course. You know what I mean? Of course, Saquon Barkley is the face of the 2024 Eagles. He would have been the MVP in the league. He would have broke the record. He would have did it. It was a great, phenomenal all-around year as a running back. So definitely it was him. But let's get into this topic. So I see things, you know what I mean, it's a great country. Everybody got their own opinions, you know what I mean? And it seems like sometimes we do stuff like this. We looking at the shiny stuff, the material stuff, but instead of looking at the person or the person that shines, it's just like Jalen Hurts to me. It reminds me, it's like if I put it together like a back in the day, like a grandmother, like the grandmother I had who passed away in 08, keep the family together, could do all things. And a lot of times you never really appreciate her like that until she's gone. Or in other ways, where we're looking at, instead of the natural beauties, we used to have natural beauties in the 90s. Oh, my God.
Oh,
so amazing.
Man, I tell you.
But we're looking at these Instagram filters that they use. And all
BBLs everywhere, man. BBLs everywhere.
They don't know anything about Kathy Ireland.
Exactly. So there you go. My point is playing that is like Jalen Hurts, and then Josh Allen and all these other folks. Let me tell you something, man. This man, as a quarterback, as a leader, has many areas. The biggest thing that anybody could talk about, no, he don't have no arm like Dan Marino, Josh Allen, or certain ones, arm certain that way. Mm-hmm. Well, or Joe Burrow. Let me not say Josh Allen, because to me, I don't believe you could put Josh Allen on this team. There's three people. Pat Mahomes, Matthew Stafford, and maybe Joe Burrow that you could put on this squad, but definitely the first two I said to win the Super Bowl. He has many freaking areas, and he's always working on his game, doing great. I'm very appreciative of all that. The postseason, you cannot doubt that stuff. And you know what? Let me tell you something. He kicked Pat Mahomes' ass twice in the Super Bowl, the one that they call greater than Dan Brady. And you know what you think about Brady? Brady's arm wasn't nothing like no Pat Mahomes, whatever. But what was Brady's greatest thing? His freaking passion, his mentality. He's getting there early at work, making stuff happen, talk his ish, whatever. Intangibles in a lot of ways and still make stuff happen. Two Super Bowl appearances. He would have won both if it wasn't for no sucker, nut-ass, what's his name, J.G. Gannon, nut-ass defense at the end, not having people in positions as it was. Would have won both, but hey, they didn't win that, and he would have had MVP
in that game as well.
Yep. Look, man.
They almost gave it to him even though they lost, Rios. They still almost gave it to him.
Look at that. And this is what I'm saying with the appreciating things. It's like, yo, they talk about guys with talent. Oh, this guy got this talent. Hold on, let me tell you something. The quarterbacks y'all mentioned, you know what I mean? The ones who haven't won nothing or even won
They had talent. Josh Allen had opportunities. Oh, what's his name? The Baltimore Ravens cat. Opportunities after opportunities. But you know what? It's just that one thing. When it's like, F you, I'm going to kick your ass and win. I am the best. Okay. Y'all cannot mess with me. They don't have that. Huh? They don't have that. All we're talking about is maybe zipping or some type of arm, and he's always working on it. And let me tell you something, man. Don't, WIP, afternoon, let's not put ourselves helping out that sucker, Chris Sims, a straight sucker, living off of two Super Bowls that his daddy won. Huh? He's a straight nut.
Makes a lot of sense.
He sucks, man. That dude, all that stuff. And you know what? I remember he said something that if Jalen Hurts do this, he wasn't really going. But you know what? He just don't want to be wrong. He's acting no accountability and just one of them type of creatures who, no matter what, ain't going to apologize. Going to would do other little sucker things just to apologize. And another thing, gentlemen, y'all talk about Jalen Hurts, right? You know what I mean? Y'all talk about Jalen Hurts. Saquon Barkley. Oh, Jalen Hurts need a talent? Last I know, Saquon Barkley didn't do nothing with the offensive line at the New York Giants. So obviously, Saquon Barkley, and I love Saquon Barkley, needed an organization and an offensive line like ours. So it ain't about everybody. Think about this. Jalen Hurts know how to use his talent. He's the one getting the ball there. He's getting the ball in a person's hands, and at the end of the day, he's working on situations. Well, if I got to run and they can't get it, so I'm not going to be no sucker and get in the way because somebody's mad because they didn't get the ball.
But Rios. Okay. So Saquon Barkley got this offensive line and behind this offensive line, and I know them winning the Super Bowl was the ultimate goal, but when we talk about Saquon's year, we all brag about it. He ran for more yards than any running back in the history of the NFL in a year behind this offensive line. We always talk about that. When we talk about Saquon's performance, we talk about his talent, the yardage, the touchdowns, the explosive plays. So why, when we talk about Jalen, is it, when we talk about stats from other quarterbacks, we're like, well, those are just stats. That's just talent. But with Saquon, and he got behind this offensive line and he produced. Like, where is the, like, when we question Jalen, it's about the production. It's not about the winning. It's not about the other things.
And you know what? Roger, what you're saying, y'all had points in certain things, but I like it in a way where Dawkins put it as in ways where it's like, okay, be more consistent in it because nobody can say nothing when it's time, when it's big games and it's time to play. Okay, be more consistent in that. You know, there's stats and stats, whatever. But this guy, what I'm talking about, it feels like not appreciating. Like I said, same thing. Scrolling on Instagram and looking at the fake stuff when the natural stuff is right there. When that woman who does everything, but then maybe not be appreciated and she does everything to hold everything down. That's all I'm looking at. Being appreciative that he has something that, you know what? I don't like hearing even Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, opportunities. I'm not taking them and putting them on this freaking team because you know what? We talk about, like, I think Jalen Hurts elite, but we act like he ain't elite. So if he wasn't elite, then how the hell he used what he had and still won the Super Bowl? And it was all coaching. It's team. Everybody wins. Most important thing. But if he sucked, the way how people kind of like make it sound like, he's just Jalen Hurts and he just whatever. No, because you know what? You couldn't put any of these mediocre or the ones who just shiny, who got BBLs and whatever, on this freaking team to then win the freaking game.
Brought it home.
I'm not the person who's out here, you know me, not kissing Jalen Hurts' ass or anybody, whatever. I'm just speaking what I feel, which is fact and appreciative. You know what we need to do? We need to always be on Bryce Harper's ass. That's what we
there
need
we
to
go.
Do. That's exactly
yep.
what we need to do. And I hope you're listening, Bryce. Huh? There's still more to do. Job ain't freaking finished. Focus on that. The Eagles got the championship. Jalen Hurts did what he got to do. So the number one guys on these other sports teams in our freaking city need to do something. Be appreciative of that. He's gotten paid. He got paid and he got worth what Jalen Hurts had. Bryce Harper got paid here, and at the time, I think he was the most paid, whatever, at the time, maybe. Do what y'all got to do. Be appreciative, and you know what? Step to the plate. All it is just step to the plate, man. We kiss certain people's ass and other people, whatever. That's the only thing. Appreciate what's right there that you freaking have. People always want to say they ain't got no real excuses, but it's almost like, Jalen Hurts is like he mediocre. Like, man, this dude is always working on something. Tom Brady wasn't all great on the arm, but man, he's getting stuff there. Jalen Hurts is still working, and I don't even think he's at his best yet. He's at his best yet. Gentlemen, I love all the peers. I love hearing it. I just have to put my stuff out there. And it's something for y'all to think about. You know what I mean? The shiny stuff. Looking on Instagram. That grandmother who held the family down no matter what. Mm-hmm. Because when my grandma passed, the family still ain't the same.
Still ain't
but
the same.
When she was there, we were all together.
Yep.
That's how I look at it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, Rios.
Love you, Rios.
All right, man.
Love y'all.
There he is. Nobody cares about stats until we talk about Saquon's record. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden we care about stats.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
So there was a rumor today that the Sixers had inquired about trading up to number 2.
Going to get Cooper Flagg.
With the San Antonio Spurs. Theoretically, I would think that would be about Dylan Harper. Joining us next, the great Kevin O'Connor. We will get his thoughts on Ace Bailey, on Dylan Harper, on all the VJ Edgecombe, all the guys that the Sixers have been linked to. And his new mock draft actually has the Sixers taking a center, trading back to 7 and taking a center.
Oh, man, that sounds
we
like...
We definitely don't want that to happen.
Well, actually, I think it'd be fun.
From an argument standpoint?
Sports radio? Conversation?
Must listen radio.
The Sixers are back, baby. All right. Take the center.
We will talk to KOC next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
No, it's not. It's not getting better.
Well, it's getting better. It's getting better for the Phillies. That it is.
Okay. We're shifting gears?
Yeah, for a couple minutes.
I tried to tell y'all.
We'll get right back to the Hurts conversation.
Take a deep breath.
Yep. 215-592-9494. All right, let's talk about those Phillies here before we get back to the Jalen Hurts conversation, whether or not it's fair to bring up his supporting cast. We can all exhale a little bit. They got a series win over a good Cubs team. That's not a make-believe Cubs team. That's a good team with a good offense. And Hugh, yesterday, like a win, you know, that was kind of a 50-50 toss-up. I think you were looking at like the predictor before the game. Yeah. You know, that was kind of a game. I thought they should have been favored. They were maybe a slight underdog, whatever. It was a 50-50 game going in. But they won. They look good. They hit the ball. Boom over the wall yesterday, which was nice to see. But the story yesterday was Jesus Luzardo.
Hey.
I think we all can now say, all right,
he was tipping pitches.
Because when they didn't know it was coming yesterday, they couldn't touch it. He was getting 10 strikeouts. That was the guy that we saw the first 2 months of the season before the blowups of his last two starts.
Yeah, man, and that was something we needed, you know, because there's a lot of people. Like, it was, first of all, shout out to all the people that came yesterday to the morning shows, you know, meet and greet. It was a nice day. And it was for the Phillies to be in the position that they were in. It was a pretty decent crowd. It was a real decent crowd. And they stepped up, man. It was one of those things. They had to do this.
Well, they did. And Luzardo had, no matter what happened yesterday, him pitching well was always going to be the most important thing. Whether they won 3-2, lost 3-2, won, whatever. Like that, we need to get him back on track.
Yeah.
And they did. And the reason last week, and you were out after his second bad start, so you weren't here the day after. Hugh, I wasn't panicking on him. Because his velocity didn't dip, right? Like, it didn't seem like it was an injury. It just seemed like they were on everything, and I thought that was correctable. And it turns out that he believes, and the Phillies believe, that he may have actually been tipping to the point where the Blue Jays knew it was coming, and maybe the Brewers did too. In fact, the story this morning, Matt Gelb of The Athletic had it, that he changed his glove. It was a bigger glove. And the Phillies realized when he was gripping his pitches, Hugh, with runners on base, he was starting the grip before he put his hand in his glove, so like the runner on base could see what he was doing, where the ball was in his hand, and they may have been signaling to the batter, like, "Hey, this is probably what's coming," because he's holding the changeup grip or he's holding whatever grip he was holding. So it's amazing how one little thing that they you probably don't even notice in the moment could have caused that, because it was different. Like the Brewers and Blue Jays rocked him, and then yesterday the Cubs, who are better than both those teams, they couldn't do anything.
Isn't it? I just think it's kind of interesting. That's how I started off, because it's about to go bad.
Yeah.
That it feels like, doesn't it feel like, for whatever reason this year, the Phillies are late to adjust just a tad?
Yeah, a little bit.
It just feels like that. Like,
well, it took two bad starts for them to pick
this up. Yeah, it just feels like, I mean, not to throw anybody under the bus, but who y'all got working? Who y'all got watching the film? Who y'all got up there, being progressive and getting ahead of some of these things? When you talk about the Bryce Harper elbow thing, you're talking about the Aaron Nola thing, and now this, y'all probably need to go have a conversation with somebody.
Well, so you mentioned, who do you have up there looking at these things? I found this part of the story I read this morning fascinating about Luzardo and how the other teams may have picked it up quickly. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
It may have been AI, Hugh.
Allen Iverson?
Well, no. Artificial intelligence. Ready? So this is from the article this morning. Quote, in the pitchcom era, teams no longer have to devote energy to legal sign-stealing tactics, right? Because they have the pitchcom, it goes right into the pitcher's ear, there's no more of the signs. Okay. Mm-hmm. That means more attention on how opposing pitchers and catchers move. Most baseball people would argue every pitcher has a tell. It's a matter of how actionable it is. The sport is filled with paranoia because, as they say, baseball is like life. Here's the line that got me. Rumors are rampant about teams using machine learning, artificial intelligence to analyze rival pitchers. Let me just kind of break that down quickly. It seems like teams are able to use AI to quickly look at a video of a pitcher and say, that's the difference, right? Like, his arm moved, his foot moved, his glove's in a different position. And then they relay it to the players, and the players use it on the field. So I don't know if that's what the Blue Jays used last week, but it seems like teams are getting quicker in picking up a tell. So if you're holding your glove one way, and that means a certain pitch is coming, they're going to know fast.
Yeah, and AI, for whatever reason, that has been my algorithm for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, that AI gorilla singing yesterday?
It's the Yeti vlog.
Oh, the Yeti vlog.
I've been on the AI Yeti vlog.
There we go.
And, man, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But what they're able to do with AI now, man, it's changed quickly. And this is what people were talking about, how AI was going to revolutionize everything and change everything. Just didn't know it was going to be in baseball. and your ability to be able to identify pitches quickly. I was about to say quickerly, mm-hmm. but that didn't sound like
that. Yeah, we could do some AI to clean that up.
But yeah, to identify it quickly. So yeah, you have to be on top of stuff like that.
Yeah,
you
really do. The Phillies obviously weren't the first time, and then the Blue Jays blasted him, but they were yesterday, and I just sigh of relief that he pitched well. Let's hear from Topper after the game on Luzardo and his performance.
Were you and your staff a little anxious going into today's start because he had struggled so much and how important he is?
I wouldn't say anxious. I think our bullpen, you know, we were a little bit light in the bullpen today. That's probably what I was most concerned about. But no, as far as Luzardo, you know, he's got great stuff, and everybody's going to have some bad outings, back-to-back bad outings. But his stuff just outweighs everything.
Well, that's why I wasn't worried. The stuff wasn't down. It wasn't like he went from 97 to 92. I mean, I didn't think he was hurt. So it's just a sigh of relief. He pitched well. Phillies get a series win. They're off today. One more from Topper, though, on Bryce Harper. What's the latest on Bryce and the progress here?
Bryce ground balls Friday. Is that a sign that he's responding well to the treatment?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's feeling better. He will not swing yet. But,
okay.
Yeah.
And affects him most on swings.
Yes.
If the ball goes well Friday with the ground balls, what's the next step after that?
Swinging, but he's got to be pain-free.
Oh. Yeah, that didn't make me feel any better. So we can't swing a bat still. So until we can start swinging the bat, obviously he's not. When did he go on the IL? On Friday? I think it was Friday night he went on the IL. So we're almost a week clear. It feels like there's almost no chance this is just a 10-day IL stint, and he's back to beginning of next week. I doubt that, but we'll keep monitoring the Bryce situation. You can react to the Phillies as well. Big Luzardo start. And how about Alec Boehm hitting the ball over the wall? That was a fun thing to see. We don't see that very often in Major League Parks. It's usually just been the minor league parks this year.
Yeah, and you know, I probably was a couple of days off of that, but I did kind of call that, didn't I?
You called it for Monday.
Well, yeah, I'm saying.
And he grounded to a double play in a big spot.
But yeah, he did cost me some money.
Yeah.
He did cost, but I'm just saying.
Your money's fine. You keep hitting parlays.
I missed a five-leg parlay hitter over here.
That's because you had help yesterday. All right, 215-592-9494.
I'm going to ask again today. I'm going to ask some more.
Kyle, should I start giving him the opposite of what I think in the parlay so he loses?
I mean, yeah. You have to stop helping him in general because I'm tired of hearing him.
Well, you're not sharing the money or the credit. I mean, you got to share one of the two
I'm
things.
$40 up. I'm up 40.
They can't tell you anything.
Anything.
All right, let's go to D in Chester. Hey, D.
Yo, yo, yo. What's going on, fellas?
D, what's up? Man?
Listen. I just wanted to say, first of all, I love you guys. All right?
Well, we love you,
here
D.
Here we go, but.
But. Here you're crazy.
There is no but.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, what you just said, like, a few segments ago when that guy called, you know, saying that, you know, it's because he's, you know, he's not a white quarterback. Listen, I don't agree with that at all. I do agree there might be with the what I call the delegation. There may be some a little bit like, you know, I'm wondering why they're saying all this.
But all the time.
Yes, right. Not all the time. However, I know none of the guys from the radio station are like that. So, you know what I mean? So we can all put our antennas down, even though they go up. But that's not the case here. My only thing is, listen, I'll give you, I don't care where he's placed in the top five. I told this to Kyle earlier. I don't even care, you know, where they rank him, like, you know, just in the division. Like, because let's be honest, Dak's got crazy numbers, but Dak don't win nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, Joe, I'll agree with you. Winning is a team thing. But when I told Kyle earlier, we do change the narrative. When and I get it, we do it a lot for everybody, but it's becoming just this annoying thing. Like we got to come to some kind of conclusion on, like you said, it. We got to find a spot for Jalen to where we rate him specifically because it's getting out of hand. Could Joe Burrow win with this team? Probably. Could Josh Allen win with this team? Probably. But you know, we'll never know. But here's the thing. When we say that and we say that they're elite, how come they aren't winning with the teams that they have? I reset it perfectly on Monday. We give them this elite status, the top four, but we give oh, we all also well they don't have a defense. Joe Burrow. Oh well, you know Josh Allen, but with his defense let up, he goes against Mahomes. So what? So what? Out of the three times Jalen's went head to head with Mahomes, his team won. He's played him four times. He's only lost once in the Super Bowl. He lost beats him in the regular season and in the Super Bowl. So I mean, what are we saying? What are we saying? I'm not saying Jalen's perfect or he's the greatest thing ever. I'm just saying let's give this guy a chance to see if he can go back to the 2022 season. And I know we're all tired of hearing that.
Well, D, off the last thing you said, if he does that, like if he has a let's just say this year, he is in the MVP discussion. It feels like he's the driving force. Week to week, he's playing great. Then, D, I'm open to the idea of him moving up the list. Like, you know, maybe he goes from 5 to 2 or whatever. Like, I don't think it's set in stone. I just think, to me, D, where I come from, it feels like, why do we need to boost him up higher than he is? Like, it feels like people are sensitive that he's not ranked 1 or 2 when I think 5's a damn good ranking.
I think it is, too.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that ranking.
Me neither. I think that means there's always room for improvement.
Right. No, I think that's fair. And, D, you good phone call. Here's, you know, he was, I think he was half kidding, but maybe we do need his own category. Well, like we have the top four, and then there's just the Jalen Hurts. He's Jalen Hurts, right? And then you start ranking everybody else after. Because it is unique, Hugh, the team he plays with. He does have good but not overwhelming numbers, right? And then even some of his numbers, you could say, well, I'm sure some people believe if he threw more, he could do the same things mm-hmm. as Allen and Lamar. But they didn't throw as much because they had a good running game.
He didn't evolve. And this year was a year where they wanted him to evolve. And he didn't. So they went with what was easy, and it worked, and it got him to the Super Bowl.
But he was efficient. Like, his pass rating was good. Like, he had efficient numbers. He just didn't...
He didn't put the ball in harm's way a whole lot.
And he didn't throw that much.
You know what it is, man? And I think I can say this because I worked in the South, and I know what it sounds... I know the trigger words, right? And working up here with everybody at the station, this is what it is when we talk about Jalen. We all have our own opinions about this. And we want to validate our argument. Simple and plain, because we are sports fans. We are diehard sports fans. So we're going to use every resource in our power to argue our point, to validate our opinion. Same thing with Chris Sims. You know, like you talk about what Chris Sims says. We talked about this off the air, Joe. Chris Sims has painted himself in a corner where he wants to be right about his initial argument about Jalen Hurts. So every time he talks about Jalen Hurts, every time Jalen Hurts has success and somebody asks him about Jalen Hurts, it's a backhanded comment because he wants to be right about his initial take on Jalen Hurts. Because that's the space that we're in now. We want to be right about our take. Now, there are some individuals out there that when they talk about him, you know exactly where it's coming from. But you can't paint everybody with that brush because everybody's not on that type of time. Chris Sims, to me, sits on that platform with that Florio dude who is a notorious I told you so know-it-all. That's his brand.
Yeah.
So he's feeling pressure to be right because he's probably getting ridiculed. But I'm like, damn, dog, you really missed the boat on that Jalen thing. So now he's trying to be right in any way, shape, or form that he can be about Jalen Hurts. And not only that, we talking about him. He's probably been the hottest topic in the last week.
I mean, couldn't you just imagine as he's putting his list together, he's like,
I'm a cook with this one.
That's the spot. Yeah. Put him right. Yeah, I get it. And that's fine. He's into the list, right? Like, we all do lists, and they're fun in their own way. Top 11 is going on the afternoon show.
Yeah, next, I think I messed that up.
You,
I don't know.
Did you submit yours? I submitted mine.
Well, I submitted mine, but I...
You spell name wrong or something?
I think I said Max Wheeler.
Max Wheeler?
I'm not sure, and I was trying to find it. I can't find it in my...
Guy's pitched like a Hall of Famer since he got here, missed his name.
Zach,
he's been on our show before.
I know.
He
Zach,
listens.
I don't know if I did it because I couldn't find the email. But Zach, if I did that,
you got to apologize.
My bad,
man.
You're about as close to an apology I'm gonna get if I did that.
Oh no, you need to write out an apology. I mean, we need to.
Damn, Joe, I gotta write it out.
You gotta write an apology. if you named Zach Wheeler Max,
know. I gotta see because I know those cats in the afternoon. If I spelled it wrong, they're gonna let me have it. Mm. I just don't know. I think I spelled it. I might have spelled it.
By the way, so the afternoon show is doing their top 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we're doing here next week on the show?
What's that?
We have our own list that we're gonna form next week. So Hugh, it's 2025, which means we got a quarter century
in the books here since 2000. We're going to roll out Quarter Century Week on the Midday Show next week. We'll tell you more about the details tomorrow. And
The deets
of the different lists we're going to have. Quarter Century Week starts next week on the Midday Show. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phones, one quick thing on the whole supporting cast, production, winning, all that. I'm trying to boil down simply why I don't see Jalen as good as the top four guys. And all I could say is week to week, it feels like without seeing the stats, and we could all see them, but doesn't it just feel like those guys play at a higher level more consistently than he does? It's not an inability. I think Jalen Hurts has the ability, any game, to be just as good as Burrow, just as good as Lamar, Allen. Like, we've seen it, right? Super Bowl, title game, Steeler game, Bengals game. We saw it in 2022. You could say the shootout against Josh Allen here in 2020. We've seen it. Like, Jalen Hurts has it in him. But I think the best guys do it week in, week out. And Jalen, that's what he hasn't done, at least in a few years. Where I am.
You know how I look at it? I look at it like this. In the NFL, number one is a copycat league. And every week you go out there and you try to win games, and the teams that you're playing against try to stop your biggest guns. I could just remember in when Jim Johnson was our defense coordinator, going against a quarterback, the one thing that we tried to do always was take away what he did best.
Right.
So when you talk about Josh Allen, in my opinion, there's been times where he's played against teams that didn't have the personnel to stop what he did best. So he runs up against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they do have the personnel. The uniqueness of Jalen in the situation that he's in, he told you in the meeting, pick your poison. Eagles can beat you either way. Now, he struggled. I'll give you that all day. He struggled during the regular season throwing the football. There's a lot of times where I sat there in a press conference, I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, what is he seeing? He's holding the ball too long, all this other stuff. But he adapted to whatever it was that the game gave him, and he was able to win. And that last game in the Super Bowl was phenomenal. And you're taught as an NFL player, when you play this game, that you're only as good as your last game. And for me, that rings true, and his last game was the Super Bowl.
Well, it was, and you're right, and he was great. We all agree he was great in that game. He played awesome. Where it comes back to me is the supporting cast allowed him to have an off playoff game and still get to the title game in the Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Rams.
He took seven sacks.
That was bad.
They struggled. I mean, he struggled. And if Jalen Carter doesn't sack Matthew Stafford, all of the things you just said, which are real, right? They're facts. They're true. He was great.
We might be having different conversations.
They don't exist. I mean, if not, he didn't get the help he got there. Let's go to the phone lines. Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
Chuck.
Yo, hey. Gillio, what's the dealio here?
Chuck!
Hey, listen, man, if Hugh Douglas can pit Jalen number two, I can certainly pit him number one. You know what I mean? And let me explain something to you, Joe. You know, when you cash in and you win a Super Bowl, your regular season, that should compensate for your regular season. Those other guys didn't cash in, Joe. I don't care about how good they look doing it. This guy cashed in. And another thing real quick, right? You know, you guys let me finish my Patrick Mahomes rant, right? This guy has the greatest head coach who was going to NFC Championship games and Super Bowls before Patrick Mahomes was born. When he was in Pampers, this guy was going to championship game after championship game after championship game. Andy Reid is probably arguably the greatest head coach ever.
Right.
And he has Spagnuolo, okay? He couldn't even score 21 points in a playoff run. They averaged 21 points last year when they won the Super Bowl. Okay, a couple years ago, or last year rather, when they won the Super Bowl, that defense was lights out. And Spagnuolo is a Hall of Fame defensive head coordinator. Here you got Jalen, who's going through offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator after offensive coordinator, and Nick Sirianni. Don't get me wrong, good coach, but he's no Andy Reid. I mean, you know, this guy is drafted in the second round. Why can't he be a number one quarterback in this league? Because of what you see on the field, you don't like the way he does it. Listen, I'm going off of results, and this guy gets it done. I don't think it's a clear-cut number one no more. I think it's subjective, but I think it's tiers. And I think Jalen is certainly in that top tier, along with Patrick Mahomes, along with Josh Allen, along with Burrow, along with Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? He's in that tier with those guys, and I don't think it's an argument. You know, he got something that the rest of those guys don't accept for Patrick, and Patrick had he has arguably the greatest head coach
to ever coach the game offensively on his team.
Good supporting cast.
For years.
So, Chuck, I think you're bringing up some fair stuff, right? And Mahomes has a lot, right? He does. He has Andy, Spagnuolo, you may. He has had Kelsey. He used to have Tyreek Hill. He has. But here, I guess for me, the difference is, and maybe you're just attacking it right now. At one point, and it says it's been a few years, Mahomes did dominate the league the way Jalen never has. Like, he threw 50 touchdowns in a season. He carried them to that first Super Bowl. We've never seen that from Jalen. Not yet.
Okay. And who was his what type of weapons did he have?
Well, he had Tyreek Hill then.
Exactly. You need that
supporting cast
to look that good. That's very important. That's very important. Listen, I'm not trying to say, you know, Mahomes is a terrible quarterback. He's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I don't think that it's a far drop off from Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes' better days are behind him. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to be the same. You know, you don't take an ass-whipping like that in the Super Bowl and then come back and be the same. You know, that was a true, thorough behind-whipping, man. And he's going to take some soul-searching to get back to the level that he's supposed to be at. I'm trying to tell you that right now. The blueprint is on that guy. So I'm telling you, and I'm calling it right now, the days that you guys are calling him great are over. Over.
I wouldn't say it's over, but you know what? Are his best days behind him? I mean, it's certainly possible. He's about 30 now, and he's already been to 5 Super Bowls. He's going to go to 5 more? I mean, probably not. I don't know. Well, you know what the funny part about that reality is? If Mahomes falls, you know what's going to happen, right?
Power vacuum.
Well, no. If he falls, doesn't it mean Lamar, Burrow, and Allen have to get the Super Bowls?
That's what I'm saying. Power vacuum. Yeah. Somebody got to step up.
Yeah, So it's gonna just change the conversation a different way because those guys will start getting the Super Bowls. You would think they're the next guys up. I understand the point, but how come Jalen doesn't have dominant regular seasons with the supporting cast he has? Why are we still debating the passing game during last season? Like, there's no reason for it. The Eagles should be above where they are.
That's a fair conversation.
Yeah,
because we started this season, and our offense, our passing game was anemic. That's a fair conversation.
Well, it was. It was turnover filled, and then it became anemic. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up on the whole Jalen Hurts thing. You react to the Phillies as well. Is it fair to bring up his supporting guest? Also, along with this, saw a ranking last night projecting, guessing the top 10 offenses in the NFL in 2025. We're going to tell you where the Eagles rank, and I think it's going to surprise you. But also, the question is why? Like, why are they ranked there? What is it saying? What is the reason? We'll get to all that. Your phone calls. Is it fair to bring up Jalen Hurts and his supporting cast when we do all these rankings? Yes or no? Where do you come down? It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field. And nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. You can celebrate the 4th of July sale with big savings at Mattress Warehouse up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. Right now, you can save $500 on the Tempur-Pedic best-selling Breeze mattresses designed to fill up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. I don't have this mattress, but I wish I did because that sounds pretty cool. I usually get hot at night because it's hot. And to sleep with a mattress that gets cool, that's kind of like in my wheelhouse. Plus, BOGO, buy one, get one 50% off on bed gear, performance pillows, and sheets. You need them sheets, man, and them pillows. If you're going to get a new bed, you got to get some new sheets and some new pillows. So do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop the entire selection and find the locations nearest you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCamera, and it's not John Ritchie. Elliot Shirt-Parks in for John today. Wonderful to be with you as we broadcast from the beautiful Borgata, our home base, every Friday morning here from Atlantic City. Great to be with you. Me, Elliot, Devin, and James. Rhea off as well, as we're with you for the next 4 hours. And, of course, you can hop aboard the conversation and join the conversation at 215-592-9494. Needless to say, it was a quiet night last night in sports. Phil's off. Now they start a new series today versus the Blue Jays. Obviously, the Eagles in that period up until training camp for 6 weeks, where they kind of float away. But we got a lot of Eagles to do today, some Sixers to do today. Phillies, and of course, beat the Hammer later on. Again, all from Borgata, 215-592-9494. Elliot, how are you, bud?
What up? How you doing today?
I'm good.
Man? Feeling good?
Better now that I see you.
I got to say, my weekends always feel like they start. Yeah, that was very sweet.
Wait. It wasn't sweet. It was sour.
It
was an anti-Richie comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't pro you.
I decided to take it as a compliment, but that's fair. Well, it's a shame because
don't flatter yourself.
All right. Well, then I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
No, about you. Flatter yourself.
I was going to say I find my weekend always starts better when I get to see you win, beat the Hammer in person.
But now
I don't know if I feel that way after that little comment.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Welcome to the fray, Elliot. This is what we do. We just yuck it up and have some fun and play some audio.
Make fun of Richie.
Listen. Okay. For everyone listening right now, I don't know why I say listen, because you are listening. Whack away on John today. I just want to put that. Devin, if you had a one criticism of Richie, what would be your prime?
215-590.
Everyone be mean to Richie.
Yeah. Oh, no. See, Devin signs off on it.
No, I'm kidding.
Seltzer, cut that audio.
Yeah, she
drop
said
of the week.
It.
Cut
I heard
the,
drop
it.
Of the week. Drop of the year winner.
This is unfair.
Hello.
It's not
Someone
even
finally
6
beat the Adore or whatever. What did you say it was?
Adore.
Adore.
Oh, yeah, you missed that last week.
It was after Hushmandaze.
Dory Jackson was Adore Jackson.
I never heard that name.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. All right. So
that was
we're
TJ Hushmandaze.
It's an all timer. All right. So good morning to you. We got a lot to do. Let's start Phil's. So new series tonight. You know, yesterday there was nothing happening. Nothing. Other than a Stanley Cup game, of course, with the Cup and the NBA Finals this weekend and all that, and Phillies. But so Elliot, Phil started a new series tonight.
Yeah.
Been an odd year. There's no question, you know, people are, and I said this in April, people were going to be, I could just tell 2 weeks into the season, really quick to be in a really bad Phillies mood fest. The last 3 years lingers. On the negative side, the last 3 years is a factor on the positive side, but it creates a lot of consternation. As we sit here today, you know, they're not quite halfway through the year, but they're moving closer to that point. What is going through your mind about this team? What they are, what they should do.
Yeah, so I think heading into the game tonight, and, you know, look, great series win versus the Cubs. It was awesome to be at the game with you guys. It was really cool to meet a lot of the callers. But as they start tonight, I'll be honest and say my biggest like opinion I have about the Phillies right now, what I feel when I think of them, when I watch them, is I'm more interested in the guys in Lehigh. Like, I care more right now. I feel more emotionally invested, and I care more about the future of the guys down in the minors. Andrew Painter, Justin Crawford.
You know that's nuts, right?
No, I don't think it's nuts. I think it's realistic. I think look, could the Phillies make a playoff run? Of course, they could. I'm not going to completely discount it. But when you, like, view a franchise and what is best for the team, you have to view it on what is most realistic. And the Phillies we are watching this year are not good enough to make a postseason run, or at least not good enough to the degree where I can count on it or I should make decisions that way. I'm not saying blow it up, although I am closer to that at the deadline than I am reinvesting in the team. But I am not making decisions about Andrew Painter, Justin Crawford, or Aiden Miller based off of this current group. I'm not rushing up Crawford because the center fielders are bad. I'm not putting Andrew Painter in the bullpen because they need a piece there. My priority, if I'm Dombrowski, is those three players. It is not the major leaguers because they've blown their chance, frankly. They've had years to do it. They haven't done it. They're not improved this year. So, yeah, I'm excited to watch them play tonight, and I'll always want the Phillies to make a deep run. Of course, it could happen. But I'm kind of over it, to be honest, and I'm more excited about the next iteration of the
team. You know what, Elliot? So I'm glad you said – I'm not happy you said this, but I'm glad you said it in the sense it gets it out there. So I think what you're saying is something – not maybe quite the same way you framed it that resonates with everyone about the minors, but I know what you're saying is you're frustrated with the big league guys and you don't believe in them. That's what you're saying.
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah, no, that,
yeah.
That's
yeah,
what,
yeah, yeah, correct.
And that's what a lot of people are saying. I can't tell you. Look, I too am incredibly frustrated by that. Look, everyone, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. Okay, obviously. Let's hear from you. I too am frustrated. There are players underperforming. Okay, like the Stotts and the Bohms, although Bohm has picked it up. Castellanos, there are a number of players on this team. Kepler, okay, a number. Rojas, Marsh. There are a number of players on this team that are underperforming and frustrating us. I am with that. What I am not with is the sentiment that is two things that are expressed too often. One, that this team kind of like can't win. You didn't say it. You didn't say it, but I know you're thinking that the percentage is like really low.
I know the percentage is low.
That's not accurate.
I think it is.
It's not accurate.
What makes you believe in this team?
Starting pitching.
Okay, that's that is one aspect of the team.
It's the most important aspect of baseball.
It is. I'm not disagreeing with you that. But so is hitting, and so is the pitchers that come in once the starters leave.
I'm not sure starting pitching is the most important thing anymore.
Well, it is.
We saw the Dodgers win last year without starting pitching.
That's fine. It's the most important. Let me give you the next reason. So what was your question? What makes me believe in them?
Yeah.
How about the fact that if a team makes the just work with me for a second. I'm trying to like teach everybody baseball. All right. Now, sorry to the audience. I don't mean to say that to you. I'm saying that to Elliot.
Right.
But I am saying that to the audience. All right. Here's the deal, guys. If a team makes the playoffs year over year, you know what happens more often than not? They lose in the postseason. You know what happens when they lose in the postseason or have bad stretches in the regular season? You either don't hit well or you don't pitch well. And then you have the occasional game where you lose because you don't field well. But, I mean, basically when a team loses, you have hitting issues, you have pitching issues. You know who's had hitting issues and pitching issues in key spots? All the great teams, including the Dodgers, who have won two World Series, and good for them in this last, you know, bunch of years. They've also lost in the playoffs way more often than not when they've made it. They've made the playoffs like 10 straight years or 11 or whatever the hell they're up to. They've won twice. That means like 8, 9, 10 times their fans all grumbling because they lost. Braves, one title. And then they lose all the rest. Yankees have lost all the rest. The Astros have obviously won the most in recent years. They've won three. And then they've had their times where they lose. Like, here's my thing, Elliot. If you sign up as a fan, for I don't want freaking Nick Williams to be my right fielder and Mikel Franco to be my third baseman and go around the diamond of all the garbage that was out there, you know, 7 to 10 years ago. If you don't want that, and I feel confident none of us want that, well, sign up to get your heart broken, but here's my point. Sign up to try to win a World Series with this strategy. Lock and frickin' load. And when necessary, reload. And I will say, I think reload is necessary here. Left field, center field, relief pitching. Am I giving up on a chance right now with Zach Wheeler in his prime to win the World Series this year? Absolutely not. So I'm not, and I'm not saying, let me be clear about this. I'm not, and you can weigh in 215-592-9494. And I'm not trying to jump you, Elliot. I'm not saying sell the farm, sell everybody. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is I object to those who think the Phillies have like a minuscule chance to win. I object to that. And I totally, totally reject the notion that this team with some realistic moves can't improve and become an even bigger time contender this season. So that's where I'm at.
So to me, you sounded a lot like I did 2 years ago when talking about the Sixers. And everybody told me they're never going to do it. They're not going to win. Who can, right? And I kept saying, no, when you have a chance, go for it. Reinvest in the team. They make the playoffs every year. When you make the playoffs, you have a chance. And what happened? They traded away draft pick after draft pick for older veterans. They tried to keep reloading around Embiid. They traded for old stars like
you're
Harden,
right? You're right about that.
And what happened? Ultimately, I was wrong, right? I was the one that had to sit here and say, yes, the Sixers never got it done. Now, they had a chance, but they didn't do it. And I'm not disputing with you that they have a chance. And I'm not telling fans that they should stop watching the games. What I'm saying is Dombrowski cannot operate this next month or at the trade deadline with the idea of reinvesting an older team. Because let's be real, like you said, a lot of players are underperforming. Are they? Like maybe Stott, Bohm, Castellanos, Marsh, Rojas, like maybe this is just who they are.
Well, Rojas and Marsh, yes. This is who they are.
But maybe the only person underperforming this year, honestly, might be Harper, and that's because of injuries. And he hasn't been, like, terrible. But regardless, the reality with this team is they're, A, not going to be the same team next year, and, B, they just are probably not good enough. They had their chance, and it sucks that they blew it. It is what it is. But, like, they have gotten worse and worse every year since then. And so when you say, like, yes, believe in the team and all that, I get it. I want to believe in the team, but we can't, like, the Phillies can't operate off of being a fan. The Phillies can't operate off of emotion.
When you say worse and worse every year,
well, they went from losing the World Series.
I know what you're saying, but you also know their record has gone up every year, right?
But but see, again, these are the points I would make for the Sixers, right? It feels like we're
But they were based on one guy.
But the results.
No. They were based really on one guy, which is the NBA way, and that guy's knee fell apart.
The Phillies have what? Well, I guess they have, like, if you include the starting pitchers, yes, they have. They have good players.
Look, the Phillies have very good players. Now, the scary part is Bryce Harper's been the main guy, and they're now walking on a slippery slope with him with an injury. But I don't think their foundation is as shaky as the Sixers was when you look back.
Oh, I completely disagree with you on that. And, like, here's the deal. The Phillies do have more talent than I'm probably giving them credit for. You are right about that. But the Phillies are an old team, and that's the key part here, right? You are doubling down on a team that is old. Kyle Schwarber, old. Bryce, old. Trey Turner, old. Zach Wheeler, old, right? This is not a young core where I'm like, okay, if I trade a minor leaguer, if I trade like whatever piece they think gets them something, well, all right, we got two or three more years with this team. This team is on its last legs. We all agreed with that heading into the season.
Let me ask you a question. Let's go back a decade or so. Would you not trade Mick Abel today for Hunter Pence?
So I hate that argument.
No, I'm not just asking, because that's the kind of guy, he was a right fielder, I think, but let's just say he could play left field. Let's just say it's Hunter Pence, left fielder. Would you trade Mick Abel today for Hunter Pence, where you've got him
with
under
this,
control?
With
for
this current team
you're
talking about.
For this current team.
No, I wouldn't.
Because I would.
Okay.
I would say, give me Hunter Pence, find me that guy in baseball today, sign me up. I'll trade one of my 37 million starting pitchers. Let me try to improve this club and try to go win a World Series while I still have Wheeler and Harper.
And you know what? You'll feel great at the deadline when you do it, and everyone will be excited. And it's like, they're going all in. Then you know what? They're probably not going to win the World Series. They're probably not going to win a playoff round. And then this offseason, when we're all talking about what do you do now, it'll be like, man, it would be nice to have a young pitcher under control for a lot of years. It's good. So I get the emotional part of it, but the Sixers also acted on emotion, and look where it got them. So they need to act on reality. Reality is the younger players in this franchise are more important right now than the major leagues.
Well, look, we'll take your reaction. Do you agree with Elliot's series of redonkulous statements right there? Are you with that or not? Look, 215-592-9494. I get frustrated. As anyone who's listened to the show all year knows, I get frustrated with this type of sentiment. I get it, guys. They have disappointed us at twists and turns this year, and they've dramatically disappointed us in points in October the last 3 years. But I'm not ready to say, you know, let's take major steps backwards. I'm just not there.
You've been listening to the best of the Phillies on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.